Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not, let those words not depart from thine eyes. Keep those words in the midst of thine heart, for those words are life unto those that find them. We're going to be looking at life quite a bit tonight. In the New Testament, it's Zoe. Glory to God. When the Lord talked about giving His only begotten Son so that we could have everlasting or eternal life, everlasting, eternal life, same word. It's Zoe. It's life as God has life. It's not life as man can concoct life, and it's certainly not the life that the devil gives, because he doesn't give life, he only gives death. But there are different kinds of life in the Greek text. And the Zoe life, which it's speaking of right here, is the very life force that makes everything that is living, living. You remove God's nature out of the earth, and all of the plants suddenly die. For it's Zoe that keeps them alive. You study Greek any at all, and you'll find out that Zoe is what is causing plants to live and to breathe and to function. It's the very nature of God that's causing that to be. It's a wondrous thing. But even that, more than that, is God's life has come into us. Now, I'm not saying we're one with the planets. I'm just saying that the Zoe life of God lives in us, and if there is life, it is because of God. Remember this, we saw in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, that all things are upheld by the word of His power. Anything that we can see, even the rankest sinner, is alive and living and breathing because of God. You remove Jesus out of the equation and they cease being. Glory be unto God. Amen. The devil cannot sustain life. It is impossible for him to do it because there is no life in him. Hallelujah. And life just doesn't happen. Glory to God. There's a reason why there's living and life. Glory to God. Now notice this, for they, the word and the sayings, are life, Zoe, unto those that find them. So as we search out the word of God, we find His words. I mean, it's more precious than silver. It's more precious than gold. You have to search out for the Word of God. Brother Merle said something to me earlier this evening. And I said, Brother Merle, I said, there's a price to pay for healing. I said, and if you're not willing to pay the price, you'll never be healed. That's just the cold fact about the matter. There's a price to pay to walk in prosperity. There's a price to pay for anything that we get from God. And the reason why you have to pay the price is that God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. Adam handed it over to him. So we have to ask God and get God involved in our life. And we do that by searching out His Word. And when we inject His Word into our life, God is injected into our life. So we have to search out. People talk about seeking God. How do you seek God? You seek Him out in the Word. Your prayer life will never go further than your knowledge of the Word. Period. If God speaks to you, how are you going to know if it's God or not? Only if you know what He said in His Word. That's why people get flaky doctrines. They say, well, this voice spoke to me. You go talk to any serial killer, and almost every one of them said, I heard a voice. God spoke to me to kill him. Well, if he look into the Word of God, he'll find out that's not the way God talks. God talks this way. I will give you life, and that life's coming more abundantly. But it says of the devil that he cometh for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. Are you listening now? So those voices that are telling that guy to go kill a bunch of people must be coming from the devil. But because they don't know the Word, they have nothing to compare it with. Are you listening now? Hallelujah. God's good. I said, God's good. Now notice this. For they are life unto those that find them, which means there's got to be a search. And those words are health or medicine to all their flesh. Who is their flesh? Those that found the words. Glory to God. Those who went and searched out for God's word are going to be those that have the word become medicine to all their flesh. I am here to tell you, no matter what any of us face physically, mentally, it matters not to the power of God. It is all but a light thing to Him. It is easy, easy, easy for God to heal anything. Not only will He do it, He wants to do it. He has the power to do it. All we have to do is find it in His Word and get it into our hearts. Glory be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. And every sickness and every disease will be eradicated out of our bodies. It doesn't matter. Whatever's lacking will be fixed. You know, the word peace in Hebrew speaks of that very thing, shalom. Nothing missing. If we're in true peace, there is nothing missing in our body. That's the way God designed it to be. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. John 14:10, the Greek text says, the word that I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them. I want you to understand this. God had something to say to man. Man had been in 400 years of darkness. The vision had been locked up. The prophecies were dry. And God said, I have got to inject my word back into the planet, earth. And so He put His Son, born from a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and He walked this earth, and everything He said was God speaking, and everything He did was God's works. He did nothing of His own. He did everything that He heard the Father say to do. That's what He did. So you go through Matthew, and we have been going through Matthew now. This is the 16th day. Just in Matthew, we have not exhausted healing in the book of Matthew. I have the rest of the Bible that we can choose from these next 14 days. We will not cover everything God has to say about healing. I mean, some people think this is some fringe doctrine, like the healing ministry was some fringe ministry that Jesus had. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we spent 16 days tonight doing nothing but looking at this little fringe side ministry He had. This was part and parcel. This was what comprised Jesus Christ. He was a healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He was, He still is today. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him, so He's healing all that are oppressed today. I don't care what the other churches in town say. I don't care how many people go to their churches and hear how it's God's will sometime and not sometime. People don't matter. I don't care if it's just me and one person. The Bible's still clear on it, glory to God. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him.
Hallelujah.
Excuse me, I'm excited about the Word. It doesn't matter. If I ever found that He healed two, that's all I need, because doctrine could be established. If I ever had Him tell one person or two people, I will, then that establishes it's His will. God made this proclamation. We'll look at it at the end of the sermon. Didn't mean to at the beginning, but it's in my spirit, so I'll say it now. He said in Exodus 15, verse 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee, not your next door neighbor, not the person down five houses down, thee. So all we have to do is hear the word, our faith be developed in it, and then faith pleases Him, and you will see what you believe in your heart. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. I mean, that's in my spirit tonight. Matthew 26, if you would please. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar, but Jesus is telling us the truth. Words of another song I wrote one time. Glory to God. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, this is the Last Supper, what's known as the Last Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Everybody say, blessed it. Tell you what, if people would just bless their food, they'd be a lot better off. Hallelujah. That's just the truth. And break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now I've got, it's one of my favorite sermons to preach. I probably preached it a half dozen to 10 times here at the church and as I travel around. Just a wonderful sermon out of this passage of Scripture about the bread. But I'm not going to preach that one tonight. Glory to God, we've got other things to cover. Notice he said, take, eat, this is my body, that bread he had. He took that cup of the fruit of the vine and said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would please, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians. Actually, chapter 11, I'm sorry. Chapter 11, verse 24. The Apostle Paul received this by revelation from the Lord God because he wasn't there. He wasn't a follower of Jesus at that time, but he received it by revelation. And he said in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So communion, what we call the communion or the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, whenever we do it, we are looking back to Calvary. We're looking back to him hanging on the tree. Okay? Notice what it says on. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Now he's teaching you how to do it worthily, how to partake worthily. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So you examine yourself, you make sure there's no sin in your life. You get it cut, blood of Jesus, according to 1 John, the first chapter, verse 9, that says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, thanks be unto God. He didn't leave this old rank person hanging out to dry. Glory be unto God. He saved me and washed me clean, glory be unto God, and the cleaning's still good today. And now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The rank is gone, now I'm righteous, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. What a deal. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, doesn't examine himself, eateth and drinketh damnation to or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Everybody say the Lord's body. Lord's body. Say it again, Lord's body. Lord's body. Notice verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. Why are many sick? And why are many weak? And why have many people died? Because they didn't discern the Lord Jesus Christ's body up on that tree. In other words, discern means to look into. They didn't look into his body. I'm not talking physically with our physical eyes, like we're opening him up, like he's a cadaver or something, and we're We're dissecting him and looking in like it's some surgical procedure. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about discerning with the eyes of our spirit, looking in and seeing the real meaning why his body was beaten and battered and why it hung on that tree. And they said, because many people did not get the revelation of this, they're walking around sick and they're walking around weak and they're laying down dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you listening now? So we're going to look tonight primarily at the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and its importance in healing. That communion meal, that piece of bread that represents the body of Jesus, and when we partake of it, we look back to his work on Calvary's tree. My brothers and sisters, that little piece of bread, it's supposed to put my attention on his broken body. Hallelujah. Exodus 2. I want you to get the picture. Most of you know the story. The children of Egypt had been in Egypt 400 years. Joseph went there, sold into slavery. He worked his way up to be the prime minister, or the equivalent of the prime minister of Egypt. His brothers thought that they had really transgressed against him and done something evil to him, but Joseph comes out at the end and said, no, this was all in the plan of God. So Joseph said, go get my father from the land of Canaan, bring him here into Egypt during the famine. And so he went, and the children of Israel came and their household into Egypt, and there they were fed, there they lived, there they began to flourish. The Pharaohs were nice to them, but the Bible tells us this, that after Pharaoh died, the subsequent Pharaohs that came didn't hold the Jews in as high esteem as what the original Pharaoh, because of his relationship with Joseph, the son of Jacob. 400 years later, they're not there by invitation of the Pharaoh. They are there because of servitude, and they are kept within the borders to be slaves for the Pharaoh. There's some discrepancy on just how many Jews there were at the end of that thing. You'll hear some say 600,000, some all the way up to 3 million. We'll just say this, there were a lot of people. And so for 400 years, they are servants. They are slaves. Their little bodies are beaten in the desert heat. They are whipped. They are abused. It's manual labor at its worst. You get in the picture? You have Exodus, the second chapter. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. They were in bondage. They were in servitude. They were in slavery, and they cried to God for relief and for deliverance. Verse 24, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God is a covenant-remembering God. He won't forget his covenant. Covenants are contracts. God signed a contract with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ using a quill dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one aspect of that covenant, that contract, was by whose stripes ye were healed. The covenant says, I am healed. The covenant says this, the contract God made with me says, glory be unto God, that healing is my possession while I'm here on this earth. Then why isn't everybody just walking around healed then? It's just like the little woman or the many people who have had wills and have been named in wills And the courts have been looking for them for years to give them what rightfully belongs to them. And the courts cannot find them. By covenant, by testament, it is theirs. By will, it is theirs. Many of them die and never receive what belongs to them. They have to have knowledge of what belongs to them. All you have to do is get on the internet or pick up a newspaper at certain times during the year, and you can even find bank accounts that people have literally into the tens of thousands in the United States that have some $5, some upwards of $500,000, and the people don't even know that it's their money, so they can't live with the benefits of it. It's the same way with the Word. You've got to know what belongs to you. Here is the will. Get into it and find it. God is waiting for you. And He also has a lawyer waiting for you to make sure that it goes to the rightful owner. And He's named Jesus. And in 1 John, the second chapter, He is called my advocate. Glory be unto God. He is my lawyer. I tell you what, I'm just nigh unto happy tonight. And once you find it, find where it belongs to you, all you have to do is take it to your lawyer and say, look what is mine. And he goes, yeah, that's yours. Take it. Glory be unto God. You got a good lawyer in Jesus. Hallelujah. Look here, verse 24. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham. I mean, you can just put it this way. And God remembered His covenant with David. And God remembered His covenant with Rachel. I better get to some names that aren't Bible related. And God remembered His covenant with Brian. And God remembered His covenant with Renee. And God remembered His covenant with Bob. And God remembered His covenant with Duke. That's certainly no confusion there. And God remembered His covenant with Chris. God remembers His covenant. You just put your name in there. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You know what that means? He looked down on them and said, they had the right to be crying out to me. And I respect them for crying out to me. Glory be unto God and their request. I mean, God's not going to get mad at you for saying, God, I'm tired of being in bondage with this sickness. He will hear your cry. You take His word. He respects people crying out to Him and taking His word to Him and saying, you said right here that I am healed. That's what you said. And God said, finally. How long did it take you to get to that place? Glory to God. And God will respect you for it. God said, come, let us reason together. You better have something to put on the table when you get there, glory to God. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it, the lamb, in the evening. And they shall take of the blood from the lamb and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Hallelujah. This is Passover. In Hebrew, Pesach. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side post and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Here is the command. It is a twofold command. Most people only speak or preach concerning the first aspect of the command. But the first aspect of the command is of no greater importance than the second aspect of the command. Nor is the second greater than the first. They are a complete whole, these two objects that God told them to do. Number one, each family has a lamb. You kill the lamb, you take the normal applicator, which is hyssop, which is a type of faith in the Old Testament. You dip it in the blood, you paint it on the doorpost, over the door, and down the other side. But that's not the end of the equation. You take the lamb, you cook the lamb, and you eat the lamb, and you leave nothing. Remember Jesus, when he was telling them at the Last Supper, he said, drink this. This is the New Testament, my blood. How much did he say drink it? He said, drink all of it. Don't let any drop of this stay. It really should give us some insight. When God speaks, all of the lamb's got to be gone. All of the juice must be drunk. All of it. Why? Because you can't just take a little of this and expect it to go a long way. You're going to have to take all that God says concerning any principle that he lays out in his word. He wants us to partake of all of it. This trying it stuff is ridiculous. Well, just try it and see if you like it. You won't. Trying it is not what he said to do. He said, take it all. That's where the goodness is going to come from. Just don't stick your tongue in it. Just don't say, well, I'll just try this healing thing. It won't work for you. Trying it won't work. A lot of people want to try it. Well, I'll come around the word once or twice and try it. You can just really, if that's all people want to do, you can just fold up your little zipper Bible thing and you go, because trying it's not going to get it. I mean, you're going to have to get into the Word of God constantly and eat it. Suck the very life out of the marrow of the bone. I mean, chew it, crunch it, take the word, throw yourself into the word, let the word be thrown into you. You be consumed with the word of the living God and you'll have everything God says. God doesn't want any halfway jobs. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. Now when God says, I am Jehovah, all the capitalized in the Authorized Version of King James, when they're all the little capital letters, that's translated from the word Jehovah. Jehovah is just, we can define him as the redemptive God. The God that redeems. The redemptive privileges that we receive come basically from seven names of God. The seven redemptive names, we won't get into those right now, maybe a little bit later. But one of them for our purpose tonight is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. When we're talking redemption, we're talking shed blood. When we're talking redemption and shed blood, we're talking covenant. So when God says there's going to be a death angel go through the park, go through the housing addition, I am Jehovah. I am the covenant God. I made covenant with Abraham. I made covenant with Isaac. I made covenant with Jacob. I'm making covenant with you, children of Israel, that you will not die. You will live if you do what I tell you to do. And he told him to take the blood and put it over the doorpost. The death angel, which was to pass over Egypt, is a type of eternal death to the spirit of man. And eternal death is caused by Satan's wicked and sinful nature. When man transgressed in the Garden of Eden, something happened. The nature of Satan entered into man. The only way we can break that nature is to be reborn, to be born again. This death angel is a type of Satan's wicked and sinful nature. The blood is a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that redeems us from that sinful nature. So those of us, glory to God, who access the blood of this new covenant, well, hold your finger there and go with me to Colossians, verse 12, chapter 1 of Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us able, that's what the word meet means, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Glory be unto God. Who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The children of Israel are getting ready to come out from under the authority of the Egyptians, the authority of that darkness of that age, and the authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This scripture is a perfect picture of what's taking place in type. The Old Testament paints us pictures of what was getting ready to take place in the New Testament. He said, take that blood, put it over the threshold or the entering place of your house. And with that blood is there from that lamb, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, both the lamb. Remember, when Jesus was coming to be baptized, John the Baptist looked up and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Speaking of Jesus, He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that was sacrificed on Moriah, Mount Moriah, for our benefit. So the type is the death angel of eternal death, the nature of Satan, of sin and wickedness. But when the blood of Jesus is pasted or drawn upon the threshold of our heart, when we believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead and we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, it says we'll be saved, glory to God. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look in Ephesians, the first chapter, and Ephesians, the second chapter, and find that out. But then what happens when that blood of Jesus is painted on the spirit of a believer through his releasing of his faith in the lordship of Jesus, the nature of Satan and the death angel can just fly over. He has no part in our life. We have a new nature. It's the nature of God Almighty. I'm different. I used to be strung out on drugs and drink a whole lot. But you know, that was the old David. The blood has now been painted on my spirit, and I'm a new man now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All that old stuff is just old stuff. It has nothing to do with me now. You could just rename me and put me in a different place, and nobody, God, renamed me. Amen. I'm now a saint. Amen. Just call me Saint David, if you would, please, from now on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just kidding. Somebody will run off with that. Did you know what He told us to call Him? Saint David. Hallelujah. It's my best impression, Richard Nixon. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has dealt with all of the sin nature questions that concerned us. Now, not only, though, my brothers and sisters, was there a type of the blood of the Lamb for the sin question, the children of Israel are getting ready to leave slavery and go on a very long trek. Now, can you imagine being in the desert sun at the end of a whip, at the end of a cat of nine tails, with a substandard diet, no air conditioning, no proper toiletry items, no proper medicine, working in the heat of the sun, carrying brick, making the brick, building the buildings, in slavery? Can you imagine the conditions of their little bodies? The second aspect of the command of God was, you eat the lamb's flesh. And it had to do directly with the physical needs of the children of Israel. They painted the doorpost. They ate the lamb. I'm sure they didn't see any instantaneous, visible effects of the partaking of the lamb. Just like many times you take a hold of the Word of God on healing, and sometimes you have to stand for a while. You have to speak the Word over your body. You have to be like God in John, excuse me, in Romans the 4th chapter, verse 17. You have to be like Romans the 4th chapter, where it talks about God who calleth things that be not as though they were. God looks at sick bodies and God says, I call you healed. See, God doesn't see sick bodies. God sees healed bodies. He's moved with compassion over the sickness, but His faith will still only allow Him to see health. That's why you have to get with God. And as soon as you get with God, it's taken care of, but it might not be taken care of tomorrow. It might take a month. It might take 2 months. It might take three. It might take a year. No matter how long it takes, you've got it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm sure, honey, speaking to my wife, I'm sure, honey, they didn't see any instantaneous results because I know how faith works. And they were partaking just at the command of God, just like we act just on the command of God. Now, their journey in to the promised land that ended up taking too long, 40 years, that is a type of our journey on this earth to our promised land, and it's not Jerusalem. Our promised land is heaven. That's where we're going to, glory to God. This is our earthly trek, and we're going to end up, glory to God, in heaven. Now, we can live with the benefits of our promised land here, but folks, this isn't the best it gets. There's going to be something better. And what's going to be better is this mortal's going to put on immortality. I'm going to shed this earth suit, and I'm going to have a body glorified like the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't tell me that that's not going to be better. What's it going to be like to roll out of bed in the morning? Wait, there won't be a bed. Get up in the morning time and not have the pain hit you and not have to stand on the word and speak it. Just get up in the morning, glory to God, and just go through life saying, what are we going to do? Well, there's not going to be a day because the sun never sets. Your whole vocabulary has to change when it comes to heaven. Oh, it's going to be glorious. I mean, it's going to be glorious, but life can be fabulous. Now, let me tell you something. Just like God didn't plan for them to be weak through their journey, God doesn't plan for us to be physically weak and deficient through our earth journey to heaven. God didn't just save us and then just say, fend for yourself, dude. Most of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ thinks so. You know, to me, and let's just reason together for a minute. It really seems like to me that this would be a popular message to preach to people, that God wants you totally put together. God wants every aspect of your body to be just totally fine and just work like you want it to work. God wants. It seems like to me people would be falling out of the woodwork to hear that kind of message. But no, seemingly a lot of people like to hear the message, God wants you dragging through this life. God wants you suffering. And I just need to be slapped. Glory to God, that's all there is to it. I'm sorry. But I'd slap him in love. Glory to Jesus. God never planned for us to be weak during this walk on earth. Now, to prove that, you can remember back what we found in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. He said, there are many weak and sickly among you. God doesn't want us to be weak physically. Well, that's talking about the spirit. No, it's not. It's talking about the body. Because then he goes on and say, many are dead. Was that talking about spiritually dead? No, quit spiritual. It's talking about the body. What happened when they ate the flesh of the lamb? Nothing could probably be seen immediately. But there's some things coming up, glory to God, that can be seen without question. Amen. Now, these two emblems were looking forward to Jesus on the tree. By us partaking of communion, it's looking backwards to Jesus on the tree. Now, go with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. I didn't see any outward signs, probably, that anything had changed. I don't know. I wasn't there. But more than likely, because I've been around the message of faith, I know that generally, things don't happen instantaneously. Very often, we see it occasionally, but I don't base my faith on it because I base my faith on the Word of God. You stick with the Word, you call things that be not as though they were, you walk by faith and not by sight, glory to God, and whatever you desire will come to pass in the physical realm. Now look here at Psalm 105. This is just a synopsis, if you will, of the journey out of Egypt. And it says in verse 37, He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Now remember, these are a bunch of slaves. Remember what the Lord told them? The Lord said, now you go to your Egyptian neighbors and you just say, hey, can I have your silver and gold? And they'll go, oh, okay. You notice what it says. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Here were these slaves coming out, eating all of the lamb, eating all of the flesh, burning up what was left. And notice what it says. When they came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person amongst their tribe. Then it should be that way for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, are you against people that are sick? Oh, Lord, no. I want them healed. I want them delivered. I want them whole. I want them complete. I spent 2 years of my childhood flat on my back, not being able to play with the other kids, not being able to go to school, having the doctors tell me I was going to die, not being able to walk from my bed to the bathroom because I was too weak, having to have somebody carry me. Am I mad at myself? No, I hate sickness. I hate disease. I want every one of us healthy. I want everyone outside this walls healthy, but they've got to hear the word of the living God. They can't do it by their preachers telling them every day God might want you sick for His glory. He wants no one sick. It is the work of Satan, and God wants to undo what Satan has wrought. The woman that was bowed over with the infirmity 18 years. Jesus said, should God not loose her who has been bound by Satan? Didn't say been bound by God, bound by Satan. If you're not going to listen to me, listen to Jesus. Jesus didn't say been bound by my Father, been bound by me. He said bound by Satan. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. I tell you what, folks. This is dancing stuff. John 6, if you would, please. Oh, man, they came forth and there was not one feeble, Renee. Man, this is doing us a whole lot of good, isn't it? Glory to God. John 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus said, 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread from which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh. This passage of Scripture probably confuses more people than about any other. I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Was he advocating cannibalism? Well, Lord, no. Hallelujah. Let's see what he's talking about. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, this is really getting their heads a-spinning. Just like maybe a couple of yours. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now there's the key to the interpretation of the entire passage of Scripture. That and in line with what we just got through reading in Exodus 2 and Exodus 12 and Matthew 27 and 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Now notice this, my brothers and sisters. It says, hath eternal life, hath zoe. It's the same word that comes down here in verse 47 that says everlasting life. It's from the same Greek word. Everlasting life and eternal life are both zoe. Okay? Notice what he said. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Notice the results of believing and the results of eating and drinking are the same result. So what's he talking about? He's talking about you got to believe in his blood and you got to believe in his body. When you're eating his flesh, you're believing in the work of his blood. When you're eating his body, you're believing in the work of his flesh. The result's the same. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. We just have to go to the New Testament and find out what takes place to dwell in him and him in us. And whatever has to take place for that to occur is what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So let's just look at a couple of scriptures and find out what it's talking about. Ephesians 2, if you would please. Ephesians 2. Glory to God. Let the Bible just tell us what the Bible means. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. How are you saved? Through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So it's by faith or believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we enter in to this new birth. And you can go down through here and find out what happens because you were saved. I mean, we were without a covenant, a promise, but thanks be unto God, we've got one now. We were without God in the world, but thanks be unto God, we've got one now. But verse 13, boy, this is the tip of the iceberg right here. But now, when? Now, right now, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So notice this, when it says that now I'm in him, that means now I am dwelling in him. Woo, glory be unto God. Not only am I the temple of the Holy Ghost, not only Christ in me, the hope of glory, but I am in him by his blood, and faith in his blood got me in him. So now go back over there to John, the 6th chapter again, verse 56. He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. When it's talking about drinking the blood, eating the flesh, it's talking about us releasing our faith in his work on the tree, what he did, and that gets us into him and him into us. So you ate of his body, you drank of his blood the moment you released your faith in him. You partook of the master. You're partaking of him. Just like they partook of the symbol, the lamb put the blood up, we partake by faith. Glory to God. Amen. Now let's just look at a couple of other scriptures. Galatians 3, if you would please. Verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith. Now just don't pass this off. By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If I have put him on, I am in him. I mean, just like before I came out of my office a second ago, I grabbed my jacket and I put on my jacket. I am in my jacket. And when I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I put him on. I am in him. He is my garment. He is who I walk in. Glory be to God. Folks, you're not in this by yourselves. You're in Christ. He goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Greek or nation. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Anybody who believes, releases their faith in Jesus, we've all come in together. We're all together now in unity in Christ Jesus. If you want to find out how grand we have it, read all the places, Brother Hagin says, and it's the truth. Where it talks about being in him, in whom. That's who we're in. When it's the old saying, but it's the truth. When God looks down upon us, he only sees Jesus because we're in him. We're clothed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Verse 1. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now let's go on down. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's when we had the nature of the devil, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. When Jesus raised from the dead, I raised from the dead. You raised from the dead. We just got to receive, my brothers and sisters. But notice what he said. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At this very moment, just close your eyes just for a second. I won't come back and hit you. Okay? Just close your eyes so you don't see anything of this world. I want you to know that right now, according to the Word of God, spiritually speaking, you are seated in heavenly places next to the throne of the Almighty God at His right hand in Christ Jesus. Every time God looks over at Jesus, glory to God, we are there in Him. Now, don't tell me that God wants us sick if we are in Jesus. Glory be unto God. We are in Christ Jesus. Folks, I didn't mean to go on this, but we're on it. It's impossible for me to accept that God wants us sick if I'm in His Son, His only begotten Son. What father wants his child to be sick? Only a sick man wants his child to be sick, and God is not sick. God does not have a perverse mind. God is a God of compassion. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11 is the scripture. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, get this, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Notice the Zoe life of God is not only for the spirit of man, but the Zoe life of God is so that His life may be ministered to my mortal flesh. God's not only concerned with your spirit. God is equally concerned with your body. From the beginning of His dealings with man, He never just dealt with the sin nature. He dealt with the sin nature and with the physical deficiencies of man simultaneously throughout the Bible. The church, modern church, have separated the two. That God will take care of man's sin nature. We want you to come to the altar, be born again, receive Jesus so that you can have eternity in heaven. But they've left off the other that is equally important in the eyes of God, for He dealt with both at the same time. He killed two birds with one stone. Amen. Notice this, that the Zoe life, the nature of God, the Zoe life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The word mortal means death doomed. We live long enough, we're going to die. That is a product that was not dealt with from Adam falling in the garden. God has promised in Genesis the 6th chapter, well, God has stated that man's life on earth is 120 years. Man is falling way short of what God has ordained for man to get to. Psalm 91, verse 16 says, "For with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." God said, long life will He satisfy. That means you can theoretically live as long as it satisfies you to live. That's God's plan. Many people aren't going as long as God has set it out for them to go. So don't judge God's intentions by our inability to receive what God has given us. That's what man does. Some preacher got up in the pulpit at one time and said, probably in like 300 years after the death of Christ, and said, you know, I saw by His stripes I was healed, and I tried it, and it didn't work. Therefore, this is not working for our day and our time. Some little preacher who was 12 at that time grew up, heard his preacher saying that, went out, propagated that malarkey, and it just went through time because one man did not receive from God. And that's how lies start. They lied on God. And so thanks be unto God, beginning of the 19th century, some people begin to get a revelation. I mean, almost 2,000 years of darkness on the subject of healing, but don't go. I mean, all you have to do is look at Martin Luther. And one day he got a revelation from the Word that the just are saved by faith. This was dark to the eyes of man for 1,500 years. We look at it now, we can go through almost any church and they'll say, yeah, the just are saved by faith. It was just as blind to them a few hundred years ago as what healing is to many people now. Until somebody gets a revelation that that's what God has prepared and provided for us. Now look, if you would please, to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Remember, they ate of the flesh of that lamb. And when you eat anything, get this, my brothers and sisters, when you eat of anything, the nutrients, the vitamins, the necessary compounds for life come forth from that which you partake of, and they are ministered to every aspect of your body. The bone utilizes part of the food. The eyes will utilize the proteins. I mean, the hair will utilize the proteins. The flesh will utilize different compounds, different things. In other words, that food is infused into our bodies when we partake of that food. Is that not correct? That's where we get our life sustenance from, is we eat. Glory to God. I had some wonderful smoked chicken today, and it ministered to my body in a wonderful fashion. My hair follicles are still dancing from the protein, I'm sure. Glory to God. Now listen, I just got shook off. She's like a catcher. No, that's not. Don't throw that one again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. Glory. Now I want you to get this. When we partake of Jesus by faith, of His blood and of His flesh, by faith, remember, we've been through that for like 15 minutes, it ministers nutrients to our physical body the same way. We get heaven's spiritual nutrients, vitamins ministered to our body, not the same as the food. It's the Zoe nature of God ministered to us by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look here at chapter 5 of Ephesians. He's going through and he's talking to us about husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Now get down to verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Jesus' very life has been intermingled with our very life, and we are part of His flesh, His bone, His body. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, glory to God, and this is not some just metaphorical stuff we're laying out. This is the truth of the matter. We have become one with Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't know a sick day on the earth. He had all of His parts, nothing was missing, because He always walked in peace. He was the Prince of Peace. There was nothing missing in His life. Just to look over to John 17 with me quickly. Hallelujah. Some of you are hearing stuff for the first time. I know it in my spirit. John 17. Some of you are hearing it for the 10th time, but only hearing it for the first time. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Verse 17 of chapter 17 of John. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. This is us. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth is the word. Sanctification comes through the word, separation. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. We're all together in this thing. Those of us who are believers, we're one together, and we're one in Him. that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, how is the world going to believe that God sent him? By looking on us. And when we walk like he walks, then they're going to believe that he actually came. If we go around healing by laying our hands, it's Christ healing through us, I know, don't get shook up about that. Although Peter and John did say, look on us. They were dispensers of the power of the living God. Now, notice this. If we go around ministering his healing power, glory to God, people are going to say, he lives. He lives. When the limbs start existing that there weren't any, they can try to talk around it all they want. But you can't do it. He's alive. When I laid my hands on that little blind woman, been blind for all those years, and God opened her eyes and she saw. Nobody else could do that but Jesus. The little lame boy that had little noodle legs. His legs were like noodles. They're just like this. I mean, if you put him up, he'd just fall on the floor. There's just little noodles hanging there. And I just stretched forth my hand and just prayed. Actually went like this. I said, in the name of Jesus. I wasn't praying. In the name of Jesus, walk. And I just released him, and his little noodle legs were strong, and he just ran off. Hallelujah. Well, that's it. I mean, that brought praise to the community. People just glorified God for that. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. The little ballerina who was a talented little ballerina, and her spine, scoliosis had set in so much that her little spine, which is like a bag, basically like an S. Pretty little lean thing, you know, just built like a ballerina's supposed to be built. It's like 22, 23 years old. Couldn't dance anymore. She wouldn't dance. She's a talented ballerina. She came up in a healing line and Jesus touched her. I put my hand on her head. I don't remember exactly how I ministered to her. And the next thing, her spine. Oh, I remember. I had my hand on her back because I could feel her spine moving. And her little back just straightened out. Perfectly straight instantly, and she just took off on tow. People glorified God. Amen. I remember what happened to you. The only way it's going to happen, though, is when that faith, your faith builds up, and one day your spirit's going to go up, and it's going to go, what's mine? It's going to be like you're walking through, you know, a little kid, and you see something on the shelf that your mama told you you couldn't have. I mean, the preacher been telling you all this time you couldn't have it. Your mama turned her back and you just went like that, you know. You're going to take it. It's yours because the man who owned the store said it was yours. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believed in him, we partook of him. Glory to God. Now, I want to quickly, we've got to go through these scriptures. There was not one sick one. There was not one feeble one. They had all eaten of the Lamb's body. We believed in the Lamb's body. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26, quickly. Hallelujah. Exodus 15:26 and Exodus 23:25 and 26, in case I don't get there on the tape. Exodus 15:26. God made covenant with them with that shed blood, and here are the words of that covenant in chapter 15, verse 26, down at the bottom of the scripture. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23, verse 25, here's some more of the covenant. And you shall serve the Lord Jehovah your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. the number of thy days, God says, I will fulfill. God says you're going to live and not die.
Hallelujah.
Until the allotted time or until you're satisfied. And the allotted time is 120. Glory to God. That's what God wants for man. Then I want to show you that God not only dealt with sin, but he dealt with sin and sickness together. First in Psalm 103, since we're closest to it. Psalm 103, verse 3, or verse 2, bless the Lord Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Again, Jehovah is the covenant God, redeeming God, and forget not all of his benefits. Notice the two benefits together, side by side, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He took care of the sin problem, and he took care of the sickness and disease problem at the same time. Now, don't take it out of the Bible because it's there side by side. 1 Peter 2, if you would, please. Verse 24. Who his own self, Jesus, who his own self bare our sins, everybody say sins, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Not only did he deal with the sin problem, he dealt with the sickness problem also and said, you're forgiven of your sins, the iniquities are gone, also the sickness and the infirmity and the disease is gone.
Hallelujah.
Well, why don't I see it in my body? Well, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. So you just keep staying around the Word. You keep coming and you keep coming and you keep coming. And you're going to say one day, hey, you know what? That's the truth. And the moment you say that's the truth, oh, you're not far then.